The information contained in this episode is for informational purposes only. No material is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
Hello and welcome to the Health Hour on Informed Life Radio and 1150 AM KKNW and streaming to CHDTV and other platforms. I'm your host, Bernadette Pager. So glad you could join us today. I am in a really good mood. I spent the day with the parents of somebody I consider to be a dear person in my life who are visiting this town. And it was just, it was wonderful. This is what life is about, you know, making friends, enjoying each other's company, exchanging information, making it better, as the theme song of this hour says. So I just want to encourage everybody to, in these crazy times, don't forget that, you know, hey, we still have each other, and love is all it takes. We can get through these crazy times. The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of CHDTV or KKNW. We are not giving medical advice. This hour is brought to you by the Washington Chapter of Children's Health Defense. So if you are not yet familiar with that organization, please go to wa.childrenshealthdefense.org. Sign up to get the free newsletter. The bus is coming soon, meaning the Children's Health Defense bus. And maybe later on, we'll get Bob to just pop in for a few minutes and give us an update on the bus tour coming in April. And if you can, if you want to support free speech on the radio in the state of Washington and around the world, you know, give a few dollars a month to the Washington Chapter of Children's Health Defense. We'd really appreciate it to keep free speech on the air. We got Bob and the Wings helping us out here and there, but we also have, hey, Bob.
Hey there. Hey,
yeah, I'm throwing you in there. And thank you, Nathan, for tossing them up. I'm putting you on the spot. Can you update listeners on the bus coming to Seattle area and Spokane and give them a heads up? What's going on?
Yeah, certainly. Big news is it's no longer a bus. It's actually an RV.
It's an RV.
Which might stand for resist vaccination, but we'll call it a recreational vehicle. Fully wrapped, and it's got signatures of those. I mean, it's about as much interesting interaction you can have with a sad story for vaccine injury, but it will be traveling through the Northwest, and it goes through Salem, goes through Olympia, and it goes through Seattle, and then we'll finish up its leg in Spokane. So we are having events at all of the Washington sites. If you're in Southwest Washington, you may want to go to Salem. You can check the Oregon chapter of Children's Health Defense for that schedule and to sign up for an interview. And so we encourage anybody else with an injury story from vaccination, whether it's COVID-19 shots or from any childhood shots, that you can sign up for an interview. We really want to hear that story. Tommy Polly, I want to call her the amazing Polly, but there's already another amazing.
Yeah.
But the wonderful Polly Tommy will be the one to interview you on this, RV. See, there I go.
Yeah. Yeah. We're calling it an RV for advertisement promotion for what insurance purposes here, as we can say, because it's not a bus, it's an RV. Bus was just a fun lingo, easy. It made better copy, but it's not what it is. It's an RV on the road, and the only people traveling on it are the people with CHD. So, yeah, but you get to get interviewed with your story, and they're collecting any vaccine injury story, any hospital protocol injury or death story. But also, if you or your family are not vaccinated, if you completely raise your family as unvaccinated and you want to come on and tell your experiences, the health status of your non-vaccinated family members, that's really important too, because they want to gather. This is called the Vaxxed Unvaxxed Tour, to really try to gather data on the differences between people exposed to these pharmaceutical products versus those who are not.
Right. And so they also look for those families who have varied their vaccination schedule. Mm-hmm. So that within a family, you might have a study. already taking place in terms of health outcomes.
Yeah, that's really an excellent point. There are, you know, there's been talk for years. I don't know why CDC doesn't do it. They don't want to see the results, but others, I believe, are trying to get it underway. You have within families, the older children were vaccine injured. And so the younger children, the parents chose not to vaccinate. And so you've already dealt with all the variables, same parents, same genetic makeup, same household, same environmental exposures, same foods, except for the older ones who probably have allergies, and otherwise compare those health differences. It's about as pure of a study as you can get comparing vax and vax is within the household. So I'd love to see the results of that sort of study posted.
Yeah. So let me just give the last little plug here and then I'll let you take over with the rest of the show.
Okay.
So just the dates to keep in mind are April 16th, the RV will be at Olympia, right next to the Capitol. On April 17th, we'll be downtown Seattle, Westlake Park. And that involves a midday concert with the Refusers. Nice. They have been an outspoken band over history. And one of my favorite songs is Eat the Bugs. They'll play that for us. But that's a concert from 12 to 1. Downtown Seattle, April 17th, followed by amazing speakers, Brian Hooker, who is the co-author of the Vax on Vax, Let the Science Speak book, Paul Thomas, who from his practice in Oregon, some of his practice's data is used in that book and cited. And we've got two other chiropractors who are going to speak, Dr. Brenneman and Dr. Sarah Kotlerman, who's been on the show quite often. Mm-hmm. And a quick plug then for Spokane, we have some amazing speakers in Spokane on April 19th. And so certainly the April 17th is much more relevant for the Seattle listeners right now. But if you're going to be in Spokane, we do have Scott Jensen, Paul Thomas again, Dr. Kelly Victory, who's a frequent co-host on the Dr. Drew Show, as well as Jason Kinley and Sean Needham, who's a pharmacist from Moses Lake in that side of the state. He is on fire. He's mm-hmm. His podcast is really getting a lot of traction right now. Try to capitalize on his book called Sickened, How Government Ruined Healthcare and How to Fix It. So just lots of activity coming up in this next month of April and looking forward to it.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's very tempting to make a trip back to Seattle to see and Spokane to hear about it. Not sure I'll make it, but you guys are doing a fantastic job out there. It's very exciting. So Bob, thank you for coming on and updating, and we'll make sure every week you update us on what's going on there. Appreciate it so much. Is Javier now available? Can we bring Javier? Is he still around? Oh, there he is. Hello, sir.
Hello, Bernadette. How are you?
I'm very good. So I just want to check with you. So let viewers know that later on in this hour, we are bringing on Lori. I've got her name written down, Lori Martin Gregory. And I just want to check with you that she's all set, ready to go.
Yes. As far as I know, yes. Okay, so that when she'll dial in, I think we've got all the links. Hopefully the links were sent to her. I'll double check on that. So okay. I think we'll be ready to go and, you know, talk about what we're going to talk.
Excellent. But you can spend some time here with me introducing our main topic, and then we'll bring in Lori to find out how she got involved in all of this too. So, I mean, what we're going to talk about is a brainchild of Dr. James Lyons Weiler, who really is, he's been looking at the problems of ethics and science for a long time.
Yes.
Way before COVID. And it's very exciting. He comes up with some excellent ideas, thinks through this and that, throws the spaghetti at the wall, sees what sticks. What has stuck brilliantly so far is IPAC, the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge. They've done some wonderful studies funded for them by the people, right?
Yes.
And then we've got IPAC-EDU, which is an online university for the people, really amazingly affordable tuition rates with some outstanding, including you, people leading
instructors, yes.
courses. So, you know, an informed public is a free public.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. Right? And then this new project, which is called the World Society for Ethical Science. And I'm going to hand the baton off to you now to explain what this is.
Well, it's an outgrowth. So when Jack started the journal that grew out of IPAC and also IPAC EDU, which is the online course group that IPAC has. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I can pull that up. You're talking about the publication Science, Public Health Policy, and the Law.
And the Law.
Journal.
Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that particular publication has allowed for the dissemination of publications that were, how shall I put it, not viewed very highly by certain publishers and editors at the height of the COVID scamdemic. I'm not going to call it a pandemic because it never was. All the data now that it's coming out clearly shows that it was overly hyped and fear-based by a lot of interlocking public health agencies. So people like Jessica Rose, Peter McCullough, Paul Thomas, Dr. Henry Ely, James Lyons-Weiler, they all published there. They went through a peer review. This is an honest-to-God peer-reviewed journal. And we were able to get, or these scientists, these ethical scientists that put their careers on the line, were able to put forth data showing that, you know, this is not what we think it is. These vaccines, these quote vaccines, are not doing what they're supposed to be doing and are causing harm. And this was a forum that allowed people to bring forth the truth. Mm-hmm. So now with the World Society of Ethical Science, we're asking the public again to join us and pay to support institutions that will support them. And in the end, that's what matters. Right now, the agencies of government at the state and the federal level, there are good people there, but they are shackled by politics and procedures, and they are captured agencies in many cases. This is about establishing a public institution that is 100% reliant and devoted to helping and providing information that is useful to the public. Not corporations, not governments, useful to the public for them to make decisions for themselves. So the World Society of Ethical Science is going to welcome people that believe that science is not a blunt tool to be used without any ethical concerns, but there has to be a morality and an ethics applied to doing science. And that's very important because, some of the stories, you know, basically what's more worrisome, a 3-year-old with a sword or a 20-year-old with a sword with no ethical compass?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the issue that we have to debate as a society, because the technologies that can be developed with public money, mm-hmm. where there is no ethical or moral guidance impeding someone, mm-hmm. something that we all have to be concerned with now.
Yeah.
All.
We all do. And what I hope this all eventually leads to is the ability to have that public platform at times of outbreak, emergency, where somebody will step up to the mic, not with industry interests on their lips, but truly what is best for the people. You know, we all, those who listen to this show regularly, and you, Javier, I mean, how refreshing would it have been if somebody in our government, at the CDC, at the NIH, had gone up to the mic and simply said, don't panic. We've got studies that show yes. that at least half of you, if not more, have some level of immunity to this virus out there, because this is what the blood test showed when they tested banked yeah. blood. Right? Yeah. They did a study. We heard it, but it was shadow banned and censored elsewhere.
Exactly.
If they had said, we know it's well established that your vitamin D levels are very predictive of not only if you will catch something, but how severe disease you will have and how rapidly you recover. So everybody go get your vitamin D levels checked, get sunshine, fresh air. Right? That's exactly. what should have been done if the corporate interests had not owned the mouths of the people who stepped up to the mic.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah. And I mean, another thing is that, you know, I'm hoping and I'm praying that someone actually sues the CDC and the FDA for violating one of the most important oaths they had, which was to provide informed consent. And they should have said at the very beginning, this is all under EUA. If you're taking the shot, there is no guarantee of safety because EUA does not have to guarantee safety. Oh, mm-hmm. And by the way, the technology that we're applying for has never been proven to work. In the 30 or in the 20 years that it's been investigated, it had never been proven to work. Mm. And that was never revealed.
Nope.
And that right there is a major, major gap that, again, federal officials should have made that known from the very start.
To me, it's criminal, right? In so many areas of law and regulations, when you look at what they consider to be consumer protection fraud, you know, in the fraud laws, omission correct. Of information, something like if individuals had known this, they would have made a different choice.
Correct. Yes.
And that's exactly what our government is brilliant at, is omitting the critical details. And because they have this position of authority and respect and reach,
yes,
they really should be held to a much higher standard than anybody else. But exactly. Unfortunately, the opposite is happening. So we're showing right now on the screen the homepage for Science Public Health Policy and the Law. It's publichealthpolicyjournal.com. But Javier, we do want to let everybody know that this is going to get it's underway, getting a massive facelift, completely revamped. Thanks to Dr. Peter McCullough and others, this journal is about to step it up and be one of the classiest journals.
And again, it's going to have information that is normally shunned by publications such as Science and Nature. Mm-hmm. Those publications are reliant on money from big pharma and big government in order mm-hmm. to function properly. One of the little dirty secrets that's really not told to the American public is that most of the publication costs for publishing in scientific journals are borne by the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. So every article that's published in many of the magazines are paid for by tax dollars. And then on top of that, publishers reap the benefits by charging a fee to access those journal articles. Mm. So it is a very lucrative field. Mm-hmm. The Journal for Science, Public Health Policy and the Law is, you know, it's going to be very limited in how much they will take in terms of money from advertisement, but it's going to be driven by people that join mm-hmm. and want to see ethical science, truthful science, published for people to use and make decisions with. And again, yeah. there's an intersection between IPAC EDU and the journal and the World mm-hmm. Society for Ethical Science mm-hmm. in that they're all self-reinforcing. We want to be called to the mat. We want people to say, hey, you know what? You didn't talk about this or you didn't cover this completely. Mm-hmm. And we'll have to acknowledge that.
Right.
Or basically bring in those voices that have a different opinion and a different perspective.
Yeah. And so this is the perfect place for me to say that I felt very honored when James Linesweiler asked me to serve as a layperson on a guidance committee for the World Society for Ethical Science. So there's going to be a few lay people, some professionals. So, you know, I'll bring what I've been, you know, bringing to this movement since I entered it. My mama bear attitude of wanting to protect kids, protect what's right and just. And Jack knows, and you know, I speak my mind.
Oh, yeah.
And so the diversity of the people who will be running the society, as well as the diversity of those who will be overseeing, it's a great balance. And he's chosen as probably individuals. You're going to be vice president, or you are, shall I say you are. Is it completely established?
Yes, I am vice president for the World Society of Ethical Science at this point.
Excellent. Yeah. And then we're going to be bringing on soon Lori Martin Gregory, who's going to be serving as secretary, who is serving as secretary. It's so new. I'm not even sure how to word it. And so I'm excited about this. So, Jack did not bring in people he could push around.
No.
I think I've told the story many times before. The way I met Jack was I read one of his posts. It was full of typos. I emailed or Facebook messaged him and said, I love your post, but I'm not going to share it to you. Fix all these typos. He did immediately. And then we became like fast friends and started working together. And so that's the sort of individual that is behind all that. He is serving as president.
Yes.
Of this society. And, you know, I think it's very exciting. And I hope other people start off up similar things. Some other journals, I hope, will spring up and maybe even ask this society for guidance, for oversight, and for IRB approval. So talk about that. Or it looks like you might need to.
One of the things that we was recently announced is that behind the scenes, Jack and IPAC and the society have been working diligently to gain approval in order to become an institutional review board. And that is very important because IRBs ensure that informed consent is applied and in that we can protect anyone that is doing human clinical trials or human studies. But this allows an agency, an independent agency, to provide that oversight that should provide oversight for studies that are not popular or supported by industry.
Yes. Yeah. Very
so
good.
So with that being said, I'll get back to you here in a moment.
Okay. Yeah. You get back there. And we're trying to make sure that our guest who's coming on here, Laura, can get connected as things are in radio live. Sometimes we have a little bit of a blip, but I am excited about this. It's like the silver lining to COVID has been the revelation of so much systemically wrong in the realm of science, the capture of all of it from the journals to what's taught at schools to what doctors are presented with. And, you know, all these people are now figuring out how to turn things around and where they go. And, you know, sometimes we look out there, Javier, and it seems absolutely overwhelming. But when you realize that sort of the monster that we're up against, this unethical monster, is fed by our money and our prescriptions and our choice, if we get healthy and we deprescribed safely going through a doctor, if anybody's on meds, and we begin really finding out how to incorporate those building blocks of health in our everyday life, we will defund that monster.
Correct.
And then we could start applying some of those dollars that we used to spend because we were sick all the time to institutes like IPAC and this World Society for Ethical Science. And it's not easy. It's a lot easier just to keep eating bad and doing your bad habits and taking the pills. But
exactly.
I think we got this.
We'll work through it. This is going to be a multi-decade process. It took many decades to get to where we are now.
Yeah.
And now, hopefully, with the gift of COVID, that we will start taking back the responsibility that we released to people that did not deserve our trust.
Exactly. You know, and it's funny how far back it goes that those who understood the fundamentals of health and who utilized God's natural gifts for health, the herbal healers, you go back to the wise women who were called witches. When doctors decided they wanted to take over the childbirth process and they started belittling midwives and that whole natural process of birth. And then, of course, there was the whole Rockefeller war against homeopathy and natural medicine in the United States that happened in the early beginning in the 1800s and in the early 1900s. There used to be, I don't know, hundreds of chiropractic colleges or homeopathic colleges, I should say, in the United States. at one point, and those were systematically put out of business because their business model didn't add up to enough, because they had long appointments. You gave a very inexpensive tincture or recommendation. It wasn't in and out, really fast, expensive drug model that, that makes industry wealthy. And I'm not saying anything new or controversial. I mean, there's books written about the history of this fight, but homeopathy's coming back, natural medicine's coming back, herbalism, chiropractic, acupuncture, the wise healing science. And but they're even better because now we've actually got the science behind why those wise old ways worked.
That's exactly it.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot more evidence now. There's a lot more there's a lot more people that understand it. You know, it's basically we were for people that in the alternative health space were actually forced to play the game that allopathic medicine said you had to play by. And they said, okay, we'll play by your rules. And now they're playing by the rules and said, here's the evidence.
Yeah.
Allopathic medicine is like,
oh no.
So yeah. Now's the time. Now we're ready to fight back and really show people that they can take control of their health.
They can. Absolutely. Does it look like Lori is ready? Shall we try to bring
she
Lori
is ready.
On?
Yep.
All right. So we are bringing on Lori Martin Gregory. We see you on camera there. There she is. Hi, Lori.
I'm putting my ringer off.
Okay. Oh, thank you for doing that. Thank you so much for joining us on the Health Hour of Informed Life Radio. I've seen your name in my inbox, but I don't think we've ever spoken. So this is new for us. And could you give, for listeners and viewers, a little bit of your background that led up to this moment today?
Okay. Let's see. I started my career as a fourth-generation journalist. I started to watch the slow crumbling of the Fourth Estate, which was horrific. And as it was just starting to disintegrate, I actually went to business school and got my MBA at Boston University and ended up working on Wall Street for biotech and pharma. That was in the late 80s, early 90s. And I saw the corruption from two different industries, Wall Street and pharma. It's quite an interesting experience. But also saw the profit over people model really in full swing. Mm. I ended up becoming a mom later in my life. I became a mom at 45. And at the time, my son was, he was actually born in California. And at the time that he turned six, SB 277 was introduced in California. And I had a blog at the time called the Mom Street Journal. So I started just, you know, it started off after my son was born as being sort of a place for all things mom. And it became very political in tone during SB 277. And I started using the skills that I had acquired in the business world to try to wake people up to stop the corruption. But I realized it was too late. I mean, my lesson in politics was by the time the legislation hits, you know, the floor of the halls of our legislative bodies, it's too late. The horse trading has been done. And so we were cooked. So that was the beginning of my journey into health freedom.
So explain to listeners who are new to SB 277, you know, the vaccine bill that removed exemptions. Give them some details of that.
So in 2015, it was actually February 19th of 2015. I'll never forget it. SB 277 was introduced in California, which basically stated that all five-year-olds had to have 22 pharmaceutical products in their bodies, vaccines, or no public or private school. And to me, it was a shocking send up, but I had been on sabbatical when AB 2109 was introduced a couple years prior, which had been a setup for SB 277. I think if I had seen if I had paid attention and saw AB 2109, the assembly bill that came through, which said that doctors had to do their spiel, their pitch for vaccines for your, you know, at your pediatrician's office, and then they had to sign off that they had given you the pitch and you denied. That was the beginning of the crumbling of parental rights. And the same legislator, Senator Richard Pan, who ushered, he was an assemblyman at the time or a legislator in the House at the time, he introduced that bill saying, oh, no, no, we won't take away parental choice and blah, 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 lies, lies, lies. And then was fast tracked into the Senate. And when he became a senator, he then launched SB 277 with Senator Ben Allen from Santa Monica, who, when I approached Ben Allen at a public meeting during all this and asked him about the schedule, he and I had a little conversation about tuberculosis, and he actually thought we vaccinated for TB in America. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how clueless these lawmakers were. They didn't even know what the ramifications were for the legislation that they were passing. And then, of course, we all watched in horror as this legislation just sailed through every committee. We watched the lobbyists, you know, kvetching with all of the lawmakers on the side and basically writing the script and telling them how to get this law passed. It was horrific. And I knew we were in trouble because there was such a handful of parents that were standing up trying to stop this egregious just, you know, stripping of rights. And they're just, there wasn't enough. And I was writing my little fingers to the bone. I was using every investigative skill I had. I was digging up, you know, everything that I could to try to expose what I already knew. I knew where the bodies were buried from working on Wall Street with biotech and pharma. You know, I published the homepage of Ogilvy and Mather, which is a major international conglomerate PR firm. And I published their client list, which is kind of a no-no in PR. Like, you don't ever tell who your clients were. But they used to brag. 2 weeks after I published it on my little blog, they took it down. But on that list, and you can find the screenshot still in the Wayback Machine, on that list of their clients was Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, CDC, NIH, Merck, Pfizer, I mean, Google, like all the players. And you're, you know, you have to ask yourself, why would the CDC need a PR agency? Why does the NIH need a PR agency? Why are our tax dollars going to these international corporate conglomerates to basically spin and propagandize public policy in a way that really is designed just to take away our rights? So that was a really huge, heartbreaking wake-up call for me. And I actually worked for an investor relations firm in Boston and represented biotech and pharma companies on Wall Street. And that very firm sold to Ogilvy and Mather 3 weeks after I left. Hmm. So I watched from my tenure on Wall Street in the biotech pharma arena, I watched the merger of K Street in DC and, you know, policymaking and the pharmaceutical industry. I watched the government deepen their relationship as a partner in the pharmaceutical industry, and it was horrific.
And I think your background is so essential because you understand what we're up against. And, you know, it's, I'm so grateful to you for being bright enough and ethical enough to see what you saw and then take that and step back and say, you know.
You're very kind, Bernadette, but quite frankly, I had no choice, right? Because it was so egregious. And sometimes when you see things that you can't unsee, mm-hmm. you know, you can't not, it changes you.
It does, but I wish it would change more people because we've got to know there are probably literally millions of people around this world who have seen what you have seen and worse, and it did not change them, and they did not step forward and join the fight against it. So I know it felt like natural to you, like you could do nothing else, like just like Javier and I. People would say, take a vacation.
You can't.
Like, tell me to stop breathing. I mean, yes. What? Are you kidding me? No, I can't. This is life. This is so important. So we are very grateful so much for you. And so I'm being told that you have a podcast with one of my favorite people on the planet. And my very first guest on Inform Life Radio was Dr. Andrew Wakefield. Yes. So you have a podcast with him that's exciting.
Well, we sort of mothballed it a little bit because we did it. We started it actually during the pandemic. I was his CEO for 5 years. I produced two films with him, 1986, The Act, and Protocol 7, which is about to be released.
Saw it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. The preview at the CHG conference.
Yes. Yes, great movie. I'm very proud of that work, and I think Andy did a great job. It's an important story, and it, you know, unfortunately, there are too many of those stories that can be told. But there, you know, it's really important for people, I think, from a historical perspective, to go and listen to the Andy Wakefield podcast. And I believe that all of them are still up online. You can listen to them on SoundCloud. And the reason is that we took a lot of time in the very beginning of the podcast, and we unpacked the story of what happened to Andy. We did a historical perspective on, you know, his whole story, which really needs to be a movie in and of itself. And yes, I know there's one in the works. It needs to happen because it's an extraordinary story. And that kind of malicious takedown is continuing to happen. I mean, we're seeing it even with President Trump. Love him, hate him, doesn't matter. He's, you know, there's a two-tier justice system that's at work that is depriving him of his legal rights as an American citizen. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all having that happen with the open border. Our country isn't being protected. So the same kind of malicious intent that happened to Andy, you know, we're talking about now 20, 30 years ago. I mean, it's been decades, and the same playbook just keeps happening over and over. And I think that's why it's really important. One of the reasons why it's important that Dr. James Lyons Weiler and, you know, now Xavier and Javier, I still call you Xavier. I'm sorry, Javier. I love the name Xavier. So I just want your name to be Xavier so badly, but I know it's Javier. Engaging in the World Society for Ethical Science as the society component of the Journal for Science, Public Health Policy and Law, which is a mouthful, but think about it. The Journal for Science, Public Health Policy and Law, that's the good guys, that's telling mm-hmm. the truth, is so needed. It's so needed because the overreach and the egregious behavior and the propaganda and the malicious takedowns, these are all going to continue until we stand up and stop it. That is the only way. And it's a hard pill to swallow, but it's really the truth. We are the people. Mm-hmm. And the dark forces will take as much of our world as we let them take. It's up to us to stand up and draw the line in the sand and come together and use our time, talent, and treasure to push back and say, no more, we're done. You mm-hmm. will not manipulate and strip us of our rights and lie to us and, you know, hijack science and then use it in the name of public health to take away our rights and our freedom, which is exactly what we've seen. And unfortunately, COVID may have been the most explosive public demonstration of this, but this has been going on for a long time. It didn't start with COVID. And that was the message that Andy and I tried to get out when we were on the publicity tour for 1986, The Act, during a lockdown. Mm-hmm. I mean, you haven't lived till you've been on a publicity tour during a national and international lockdown with Andy Wakefield. The planes looking at each other going, I am this close to getting thrown off this plane. I just can't believe we're doing this. But okay, we'll do it. You know, we're doing everything we can to wear the thin masks and it's not working. We're getting caught and all this crazy. You know, the message was, yes, this is awful, but this is wonderful. Because it's an awakening, and more people are now on the side of health freedom than ever before. So this is an opportunity, and this is a chance for us to come together and do something.
I love it. So, wow. So you're just launched. It's just beginning. Tell me what's happening now, what you need people to do, how do people join? Take us through those steps. What's the next step forward for everybody?
So the next step forward is to come and join us. Right now, we've just opened our membership drive. We are in the process. We don't even have our custom link up. We're in the process of doing that. I was taking a look at it before I joined you just to make sure we got a 404 error. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting there. And you can go to ipac-edu.org.
Okay.
You can go to registration and you can find the journal. If you subscribe to the journal, no, I have it backwards, Javier, don't I? If you become a member, you get the journal for free. So if you join the World Society for Ethical Science, it's $100 a year. It's you know, a cup of coffee or two a month, really, to be able to be a part of this incredible community. We have wonderful humans that are coming forward. Dr. Peter McCullough is going to be the editor in the science component of the journal. Dr. James Lyons Weiler is the editor-in-chief. We have incredible talent that is getting very excited about this because this is what we've needed for so long, a place, a virtual town hall where we can all come together to stand for integrity and accountability in science, public health policy, and law, and then a journal that's going to have credible case reports and comprehensive science from both sides and public health policy from both sides and law from both sides. We will be ethically accountable to the truth and to integrity. I remember talking to Dr. Judy Mikovits about this in 2017 and saying, don't you want to just start this? We need a journal like this so badly. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful that Dr. Jack has taken the initiative and launched it because we need that place for the voice of truth to come through in these three major arenas that are literally tied together now. Mm-hmm. Never before could we, you know, in a moment in time as now, could we dispute that fact that science, public health policy, and law are all intermingled. They're sisters. They live in the same arena, and we need to address them together. So if people will join us, you'll get the journal for free. Come and become a member of the World Society for Ethical Science. Go to IPAC, IPAK-EU.
EDU.
IPAK-EDU.org. Go to registration and then scroll down and become a member of the World Society for Ethical Science. And then you will receive the journal, which is also launching as part of your membership. We're going to create a conference. We're going to have a presence at conferences. We're going to make sure that we become sort of the nexus point for where all of the accountability factors can be put into place that will drive home a safety net for everything going forward so that we don't ever end up in the COVID nightmare that we were in ever again. And I'd like to say also, it's, you know, the education of parents, we all know that the public health policy and the CDC and the childhood schedule has been causing egregious harm to children for decades. We knew that. We knew it wasn't just the COVID jab. I remember having this conversation with Simone Gold very early on and saying it's not just the COVID jab. Mm-hmm. And she was very hesitant to align with us. She wouldn't come on our podcast because she didn't want to be an anti-vaxxer. But if you go to her wiki page right now, it actually says she's an anti-vaxxer. So I think that's kind of funny. But we want that the continuation of the education of that fact has to come forward. There's mm-hmm. so much more even before COVID that people have to understand. And that's why I do encourage people to do their, you know, do their time on looking at all these wonderful films. Andy has made, you know, two amazing films with Vaxxed and 1986, The Act. Those are great historical perspectives. If you yes. think COVID was the only deal,
no.
go watch those movies, and then you'll start to understand how much work we have cut out for us.
Yeah, and both of those are available online streaming.
They are, yes. You can go to 1986theact.com, 1986theact.com. Mm-hmm. You can buy them on DVDs. You can instant download for purchase. You can even purchase and send it to somebody. You can stream it. We need to know the history of where we've been so that we don't repeat it and go back there. And we maintain that level of integrity in terms of a knowledge base. We have to be smarter than the other side. The details matter. Mm-hmm. We have to understand the history so that we can hold them accountable, right? When Ben Allen, senator from Santa Monica and Malibu and the whole, you know, South Bay, didn't know that we don't vaccinate for tuberculosis in America, and he was passing one of the most egregious vaccine policies in the history of the United States, that tells you just how ill-informed and just how bad it really is. So we have to have our facts and figures dialed in. We need to be buttoned up, and we need to know what's going on so that we can speak intelligently truth to power.
Exactly. I want to tell viewers who are new to 1986, the Act, because Andy and I talked about it on that very first episode of Informed Life Radio. It's a very unique presentation. It's told, it's storytelling form. So it's a husband and wife who just find out she's with child. And she, like a lot of mama bears, begins to explore various things. And she begins to look at vaccination. And ends up going down the rabbit hole, and it presents all of these facts, all of these studies, the shenanigans, and everything's fully documented. And on the website, you can go look at every reference point. So in this film, she has to have these discussions with her husband, you know, about what she's finding. And I think most people can really understand the most difficult person to have a vaccine conversation with is a loved one. It's a spouse, it's your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle, somebody who knows you really well. And so is easily able to say, you don't know what the heck you're talking about, right? There's something about familiarity breeding contempt that they don't want to hear you.
Right.
But this just shows how they got through the dialogue and what is learned. And it's, in 1986 is the year that the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act was passed, that removed liability for injury or death for any vaccine product recommended to children by the CDC. And in 2011, in the 21st Century Cures Act, they added pregnant women and their unborn children to the shield of that act. So if you are harmed as a pregnant woman, or your child, unborn child is harmed, you cannot sue the manufacturer or the person who administered it. You have to go sue the government, you know, which is very inadequate, and most people do not succeed in that court. Oh, we just lost Lori. Oh, there she's back.
Sorry.
So Javier, what other questions do we have for Lori? What else can she reveal?
Nothing. I just wanted to say that if people don't know, Lori has become or was has accepted to be the secretary for the World Society for Ethical Science. Through her leadership and through her management, we will see this organization grow and also adhere to the strictest standards for ethical and moral application of education and scientific discourse. Again, from your background, from everything that you've done from your professional life as well as your personal life, I think that Jack made a very wise choice to bring Lori on board because this is going to be an uphill fight, but it's something that we will do because we have to. There is no other choice at this point.
Amen. And Lori, you're an inspiration to others. So, you know, most of us on this journey, we did not begin our adult lives from a point of mistrusting CDC, mistrusting science, mistrusting vaccines, mistrusting pediatricians. Everything that we experienced in our life, because we did trust them, we made a choice because of their guidance, and we or our children experienced harm. And that's when we began to do our homework. So nobody in this movement is like perfect and has never, you know, right? All of us, like, we learn the hard way. And so if you're still in a field and you're still in there with the guys that you no longer trust, just know that when you begin to step away and look for opportunities in places that now align with your new values and your new stance, you're going to find such an unburdening of weight that you didn't even know was there. Right. And it's can be a scary thing to do, but I have not talked to a single person who ever regretted stepping away from that and stepping into the light, as it were.
Absolutely. That's right? Such a true story. And, you know, I think that happened to a lot of people during COVID in the healthcare profession that really started to see things that they hadn't seen before. And it's heartbreaking, right? Because people spend many years in school preparing to have a career in the healthcare field. And, you know, if you're a doctor, you go through years and years, you have residency, you pay a lot of dues, and then you find out that it's not what you thought it was. And you have to end up reinventing yourself and walk away from your dreams. But, you know, God always opens another door when he closes one. It's having the courage to walk through it. And then realizing that when you are willing to see things for what they really are and to honor the truth, you're rewarded tenfold. And the satisfaction, the intrinsic reward is so much more great than any extrinsic reward. And the extrinsic reward always works itself out.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just a matter of taking that leap of faith and knowing that God does not waste anything. Mm-hmm. You know, there are times when I thought, why am I doing this job or this task, or, you know, and you always end up using those skills for something that is meant for his good and for whatever he needs. He's always preparing us for something. And we may not always understand it, but that's what faith is. It's walking out on that ledge and taking the leap without the net. And then you find out the net was always there. So I really would encourage your listeners to, you know, find a place. Maybe I started off as a volunteer. I was doing my blog, you know, just as a passion project, because I knew the truth and I knew it wasn't being heard. And eventually that truth will rise. The cream rises to the top, and you will have an opportunity to find a place in the truth movement, whether it's health freedom, whether it's research, whether it's volunteering, supporting a political candidate in your hyper-local area that knows the truth and is willing to stand up for it. You know, there's a host of ways that you can contribute. And though, you know, I always believe that you do a good job no matter what you're doing. And for me, the definition of integrity is doing the right thing even when no one's looking. Mm-hmm. And there's always somebody looking.
Nobody's looking and nobody's paying.
Attention. Yeah. And we'll recognize when you're doing a job and you're doing it well. And there's so much to be done. And that's what I hope the World Society for Ethical Science will really become. We're going to become an embarrassment of riches. We're going to become a smorgasbord of talent, time, and treasure that we are going to bring together. And, you know, somebody will say, I can do that, and I can do this, and let's do that, and let's organize this effort, and let's launch this campaign, and let's put this together. And, oh, we have a fire over here. What can we mobilize in order to address it? And how, you know, what can we do to actually shine a spotlight on something that's happening that's great, that needs to be elevated? That's what I have a vision for what this effort will become. Mm-hmm. And with Javier and Dr. Jack's, you know, leadership as president and vice president, as the secretary general, I'm just honored and humbled to even be at the table.
Oh, my goodness. Don't underestimate yourself. You're a powerhouse. I'm loving this. It's going to be fantastic. Remind viewers and listeners one more time the website they will go to in order to sign up to become part of this.
Yes. And, you know, IPAC is an incredible educational outlet. If you haven't checked out the course offerings, you really should. There's some amazing offerings there. I have been asked and couldn't say yes fast enough by Dr. Jack to actually teach an ethical journalism class in the fall. So I think it's
fantastic.
Really important that we help bring up the next generation of journalists to understand how to look for truth. Just today I had a highly regarded doctor ping me and say, hey, I really need this scientific study, and PubMed doesn't have it. It says abstract not available. And I said, well, let's just do a little digging. I made a quick phone call to Duke University Medical Library, and they have it. They just don't have it because it was 1946 and they didn't have electronic publication, right?
There you go.
So, you know, there's ways to put little pieces of things together. But, you know, the destruction of information and how to get information, we need to teach our young kids you know, how to find truth and how to really be honorable in the fourth estate, because the yes. fourth estate's in jeopardy and it's really important.
Absolutely. We're down to the last few seconds. The website address?
IPAC.edu.org, IPAC-edu.org. Go to registration. Go ahead and sign up for the World Society for Ethical Science. Become a member, $100 a year. You'll get the Journal for Science, Public Health Policy, and Law.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Javier. Stay tuned. We got one more great hour of radio on the Liberty Hour. You've been listening to Inform Life Radio on 1150 AM KKNW. We'll be back in a few minutes. During this unprecedented response to an infection outbreak, it has been made very clear that shutting down lives and businesses is not sustainable or repeatable. We've also learned that it's unnecessary. Treatments exist and always exist. For 99% of the population, nutrients and oxidative therapies that support the immune system and improve symptoms are always available to address viral infections. For the less than 1% who need more, inexpensive, unpatentable drugs can be added to the nutrient therapies to improve outcomes. It's time each and every one of us empower ourselves with this knowledge. We need not ever bring our lives to a halt again. We can both save lives and retain the liberty that nourishes us body and soul. Learn more at healthyimmunitynow.org. That's healthyimmunitynow.org.
Children's Health Defense is a nonprofit organization with a mission to end childhood health epidemics by working aggressively to eliminate harmful exposures, hold those responsible accountable, and establish safeguards to prevent future harm. The Washington chapter of Children's Health Defense is stepping up at the state and local levels, but we can't do this without you. Join us at wa.childrenshealthdefense.org. Let's restore and defend children's health and their futures in Washington State.
The information contained in this episode is for informational purposes only. No material is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.